How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. DNA Today informs you on what's happening in the genetic world. During my broadcast here, I educate you, the public, on genetic and health topics through event coverage, news story, book movie reviews, and interviews. Guests include genetic counselors, researchers, patient advocates, and professors. Joining me today is Antonio Maltese. He was diagnosed presymptomatically with Huntington's disease due to a family history, and he's a huge patient advocate with really big plans to change the future of people with Huntington's disease. So thanks so much for taking the time and joining me today, Antonio.
Oh yeah, thank you for having me on your show, Kira. Glad to be here.
So let's start out with those that maybe don't know what Huntington's disease is, or they've heard of it, but they don't exactly know what it means in terms of how it affects the body and like when symptoms start. Can you kind of give us a little snapshot?
Yeah, so Huntington's disease affects about 30,000 Americans, and about 200,000 people are at risk worldwide. What it is everyone has CAG base pairs. It stands for cytosine, adenine, and guanine. And people with Huntington's disease have too many repeats of this gene, which causes an excess Huntington gene, which then causes symptoms described as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and ALS combined. And it then affects cognitive, motor, and psychiatric functions. And this occurs around ages 30 to 50, and about 10 years after initial manifestation of symptoms, the disease is fatal, and you normally are terminated from an external illness or ailment.
So it's a really serious disease. This is a really scary one.
It is quite serious. It's quite destructive on families. Each generation gets smaller and smaller. Each carrier, since it's a dominant allele, each child is 50% at risk of inheriting the gene from their parents if their parents have the Huntington's gene.
So if a parent has it, it's a flip of a coin whether each child will inherit to have Huntington's themselves.
It is exactly like a flip of a coin, and that is why it is imperative that people who believe that they are at risk get tested and break the stigmas around the disease so they don't have to find out in the prime of their life that they have 10 years to live. They can do what I did and get tested early in your 19s or your 20s and start advocating for yourself and start finding treatments and start finding cures and start finding the best of the best doctors and making the change instead of waiting for a cure to come by.
And so you mentioned having a family history of Huntington's. Which family members of yours have been affected? What is it like in your family?
So getting the test for Huntington's, this did kind of cause a void in my family because I was the only one who wanted to get tested. My dad's mother, so my paternal grandmother, passed away from Huntington's disease when I was around 5. So I only saw her when she was almost in a vegetative state in the hospital with Huntington's disease. And then she had 3 children. So it's my dad and then his sister and his brother. And none of them have gotten tested. But when, you know, I've ever since knowing that my grandmother had Huntington's and seeing the agony that she was in, at such an early age, I always knew I was prepared to fight for the disease, and I always knew I was prepared to get tested for the disease.
Which is a very courageous decision to make and kind of a scary one, but you found it to be that the more you know, the better, and the more you can prepare yourself and advocate.
Yeah, exactly. There are definitely two types of people when it comes to Huntington's. There's the people who like to know, and then there's the people who like to wait and adjust accordingly. And I like to know and adjust accordingly beforehand.
And so what was this process like for you of going through to get genetic testing?
So I think the process that I took was a little unique. I actually just went into my primary care physician in Harrisonburg, right by campus, and told him about my dad being at risk for Huntington's, my grandmother having Huntington's. I told him I wanted to get the test for Huntington's, and I told him that I did not want to get genetic counseling, which normally you do have to go for. So he just wrote the script. He did add something at the end, and he did say, even if you do have Huntington's and get this test, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And, you know, my doctor could not have been more wrong. He's actually inspired by all the stuff that I've been doing and people I've been collaborating with. But the process itself was pretty easy. You just get the script. I went to the hospital. I got a blood test done, like a normal blood draw, and it took a little over 2 weeks to get the results back.
And so from this process, you are obviously very knowledgeable and you're doing your own research. So you were able to go for this testing without having other people informing you on what different things meant, because you were ready for it and you knew what the test looked like and what the results would actually mean, as opposed to other patients that may benefit from genetic counseling and helping them explain that.
Yes, I think it's very important to have a genetic counselor to help you when you feel like you have no avenues left. But I also feel that it is extremely important to do your own research so you can come in to those appointments with your own questions and with your own research that you can share with your genetic counselor and work together instead of just having someone do the thinking and the work for you.
Yeah, it's huge to be able to really do that own research. And as you said, you're your own best advocate, and, you know, being able to access as much as you can. The internet is a wonderful thing that, you know, we're doing this podcast here and really being able to find out lots of information and everything like that. And it's surprising that your doctor was so negative about it. Obviously, this is a really intense disease, but to have such a negative outlook on, you know, the future and future treatments and a future cure, it's surprising.
I was extremely surprised, a little flabbergasted would be a better word, that he did not only say that there was not anything I can do about it, but he also didn't give me any options. He didn't say any, you know, genetic sciencing trials. He didn't tell me that there were any trials. He merely just told me that there is nothing I can do. And there is so much that you can do when you go for this test and you get a pre-diagnosis of Huntington's. You can go for trials. You can go and get set up with these doctors. So you go for once a year checks where they check your motor, cognitive, and psychiatric functions. You can do research and get in touch with doctors like I've done abroad. There's a doctor named Dr. Nicole Devon, and she's a researcher in Switzerland, who was the first scientist to ever use CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing on mice, and she destroyed 90% of the CAG mutated repeats in the mice successfully.
Which is remarkable. That's just amazing.
That is extremely huge, and why I have a lot of faith in our future and in the CRISPR and gene editing revolution that we're going to see before our very eyes for our generation.
And I've talked a lot about CRISPR on this show of, you know, many episodes, I can't even count, that just, you know, all of the impacts, the future impacts it's making and the current impacts that CRISPR is making, that it's really revolutionizing, you know, medications and healthcare and treatment, and it's just having a really, really big impact.
Oh, CRISPR, if allowed to innovate and prosper equally without being hindered by international patents or the thought of money, which gets in the way of many of these treatment options, CRISPR will seep into every aspect of our life, and for the better, once it's perfected, it has the potential to change everything that we know and everything that we are. I mean, it's our genome. It is our DNA, what makes us us. It's extremely fascinating. It's definitely something that everyone should read up on and know about so that we're prepared as citizens of the world when this medicine comes out, that we know what it is, what we can do, what we can't do, its limitations. That's all extremely important, especially with CRISPR.
Definitely. And just reading about it is just not, there's always something new coming out, and it, you know, is related to CRISPR in some manner. What are some other resources that you've been using after finding out that you have inherited the Huntington mutated gene from your father? What have you taken in terms of next steps of, you know, looking at different resources?
So, like you said, the internet is a huge resource. You have to know how to use it wisely. You have to use scholarly journals. I definitely would use peer-edited review journals, so you're not just reading, and you know, an isolated trial, an isolated incident. But hdbuzz.com is a great resource that my Huntington's disease doctor at University of Virginia Hospital actually told me about. They talk about CRISPR. They talk about the Ionis trial, which is huge. They talk about any myths about Huntington's disease, treatment options, the latest and greatest. That is a number one resource that I would recommend everyone checked out, Huntington's. Then I also, like I said, I have a doctor at UVA that I follow up with once a year, and I have a psychiatrist, one of only about 5 world-renowned Huntington's disease psychiatrists, at VCU campus in Richmond, Dr. Adam Rosenblatt, and he is great. He has helped me through all of my questions, through any anxiety that I have or any unanswered information that I had. He's been able to help me with that. And it's really helped me gain a better knowledge of the healthcare system and why things work the way they do. And really finding the best doctors and the best care are all great resources and keys to success and persevering throughout all of this.
Which you've done just so beautifully of just, you know, hearing from you of your journey and everything, that you're taking this in stride, and it's motivating you to really be able to raise awareness for Huntington's disease and also really to be pushing for treatment and cures.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just like the ALS ice bucket challenge. We need something like that for Huntington's. Not enough people know about it. So not enough people are going to research about it, and therefore these big companies, they're going to worry more about cancer, or they're going to worry more about Alzheimer's, or these diseases that affect so many more people than the 0.0001% of the world. And we need to let them know, the insurance companies, the medical companies, the researchers, the scientists, that the 99% counts, and so does the 0.001%. And we all deserve the same opportunity to survive.
And so what needs to change in order to actually get there, to have that really lots of awareness and to be able to have more money behind research?
The biggest key that I've found that we need to change is patient self-advocacy. Going back to the genetic counseling, like I said, you need to come in with questions of your own. You need to do your own research beforehand. You need to understand what is inside your body. You can't just rely on someone explaining it to you. You can have them explain and summarize your questions or whatever you have, you know, during that time, but they're not going to be with you 24/7. And you'll have such a better peace of mind when you know what's going on and you completely and fully understand what's going on. There needs to be much more openness about Huntington's disease. People need to be stop being scared of having Huntington's. It's a scary disease. So is cancer. So is Alzheimer's. So are all these other diseases. And we have walks for cancer. And we have walks for Alzheimer's. I don't hear about any major walks for Huntington's. I know Huntington's Disease Society of America tries doing some fundraisers. But that's another thing that needs to change. Is Huntington's Disease Society of America is supposed to be an organization that really is supposed to be finding a cure for Huntington's disease, but at this point, they're so big that they're more focused on advertising for Huntington's disease of America, and they're more focused on getting the word out on the organization and who they are, that they've fallen short on funding for trials and funding for research. And people need to start getting tested much earlier and break down those stigmas of, oh, I'm just going to wait until I'm 50, when I have a family, when I have a good job, when I'm financially stable, and then I'm going to die in 10 years. That mindset needs to change. And this generation, I think, has the ability and the opportunity to make that change possible. If we get tested earlier on, if we start learning about these CAG repeats or what these mutated genes mean or what CRISPR is earlier on, then we will become better citizens ourselves. We will become better advocates for ourselves. There needs to be more publicity, like I said, like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. We need something like that for Huntington's disease. I mean, I've done a few fundraisers. I know there's a few fundraisers locally, but there's not enough money and there's not enough attention on this disease for pharmaceutical companies to pick up the slack and start making more treatments or research, especially in America, at least, because that's not where the money is. And if there's not enough publicity, they're not going to put money towards it. But if we start making our voices loud in unison and saying that it's time to break these stigmas and it's time for a cure, then more money will start going designated towards Huntington's disease, whether it's worldwide or in America. And insurance will play a vital role in that. If they don't cover genome sequencing, if they don't cover gene silencing, if they start charging $340,000 for these gene silencing treatments, only the rich are going to be cured, and that's not fair. So there's a lot that needs to change. There's a lot that's going to change. There's a lot of regulations that need to be put in place. I'm definitely excited to see where these next 10 years will take us.
And there's definitely going to be a lot that's happening, and something recently was major breakthrough that I was seeing all over social media. That 46 patients had their genes silenced at the University of College London as part of a research study. And like I said, this is huge breakthrough. People are calling it, you know, the biggest breakthrough in 50 years for neurodegenerative diseases. Can you shed a little light on what actually this research study is, what they were able to successfully do?
Yeah, so this study is actually pretty awesome. I talked about this study with Dr. Rosenblatt. It's called the IONITS trial, and what they did is they had 46 patients. The procedure was carried out at the Leonard Wolfson Experimental Neurology Center at the National Hospital for Neurology in London. And it safely, it had initial success, and it safely lowered the Huntington gene, though the long-term effects are still yet to be known. Some gained lost functionality back in cognitive functioning and motor functioning. When I asked Dr. Rosenblatt why this was considered such a breakthrough, it wasn't the IONIS drug itself that was considered the breakthrough. It's the method of treatment, and that is huge, and that is extremely important for people to understand about this trial, is the drug itself has a high potential for success, but it also has a high potential for failure. However, injecting a drug into the spine and bathing the spine and the fluids that go into the brain and being able to lower a mutated gene is the breakthrough in neurodegenerative diseases. If we are able to find the one gene that causes the breakdown in brain function or causes the breakdown in cellular, at a molecular level, like Alzheimer's or dementia or sickle cell anemia, injecting a drug into the spine is what the breakthrough is. Now we know that we can help curb some of these disorders and diseases through the method of treatment in this bathing the spine with a certain drug.
And what it's actually doing is silencing the gene, right? So it's not, you know, people have a mutated gene, and so they're creating an abnormal protein, which is building up in the brain, which is causing a lot of these symptoms. And so by having that gene not active and not expressing into a protein, you're eliminating a lot of these symptoms.
Yeah, the goal is to silence the gene before the mutation can even be expressed. That is the breakthrough in the IONIS trial.
So you're stopping it at square one right away. That's the ideal.
Exactly. So it never even grows into Huntington's disease. So instead of being a dominant allele, it'll turn into a recessive allele. And that way, it won't ever turn into Huntington's disease. You will have the repeats, but they'll all be silenced.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly. It won't matter. And that's the breakthrough. And that's what's so cool about this study. And that's why they're going into stage three testing, I think. Stage two or stage three. And they're getting more people. And they're trying to, but they're doing it on healthy people, so people my age in their 20s who know that they're predisposed to Huntington's, and they want to see if long-term use of this drug A is safe, B lowers the Huntington levels, and C completely stops any aspects of the disease to manifest. So this is huge for people who aren't yet affected by Huntington's disease, like me, who are predisposed to the gene. So this is great potential, and again, is another huge step forwards in the right direction.
And it's a drug and method like this that could personally prevent you from having Huntington's.
Exactly. And you would not know about going for this trial, or you would not know about being able to not even develop Huntington's if I didn't get tested early on. If you don't get tested early on, you won't be able to be eligible for these trials. If you wait until the disease affects you, you've taken the opportunity away from yourself.
That is just so key to get. I think if people are understanding one thing from this episode, I think it's that being able to get genetic testing early on in your life for Huntington's can really provide you a lot of opportunities in terms of clinical trials, but also to be researching and understanding what's happening in research.
Exactly. You'll fall behind, and you'll fall on notice. If you choose to stay oblivious, that's obviously your choice when it comes to genetic diseases and anything, and genetic disorders, but there's no point. You're not alone. There's other people with these diseases. No matter how much it breaks you down or lifts you up, it'll make you stronger in the end. And you're helping yourself. You may not like the information that you get, and you may not like the cards that you've been dealt, but what you do with those cards that you've been dealt is up to you. So you need to start advocating for yourself when you get this test early. Don't let it break you down. The next step is advocating for yourself. The next step is finding a Huntington's disease doctor. The next step is getting the support that you deserve and that will help you out in finding the next avenue and what you should do.
And how can people directly support and join your efforts that you're doing in terms of raising awareness and research money for Huntington's?
So I have a blog post where I keep people updated on the latest and greatest in Huntington's gene editing, CRISPR, gene silencing, any new medical breakthroughs. I try and keep updated on my blog. I also have a chuff.org webpage, and I follow, and it's the same, I follow the latest updates. And the chuff.org webpage is more for people who have Huntington's or who want to donate to the cause, but they're not the kind of people that want to go to these events, or they're not the kind of people that, they might have Huntington's, but they don't want everyone to know. Or they might have Huntington's, and they're not just ready to come out and be completely open about it. Those donations go towards new research, new trials, participating in new trials, finding new doctors to fight against Huntington's. That is what the money that those donations are going for. And then the webpage is simply a means of disseminating the newest and the best information for patients with Huntington's who think that there's not another turn. I try and provide that unknown turn for them, for somewhere to go.
Well, thanks so much, Antonio, for coming on and sharing your fight for finding the cure for Huntington's disease and just all of your efforts. I really want to thank you on behalf of the community and the public as well, to just be out there educating everybody.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me and giving me the time to be able to talk about my story and everything that I've learned. And I really hope that some people were able to take away some vital information from this podcast, and that it inspired some people to go out and get that test, because the waiting is the bad part. The knowing is what gives you the chance to do something about it.
And for those that want to learn more, he mentioned a blog that's at huntingtonsinitiative.blogspot.com. And all the links and different trials that we mentioned today during the episode, that's all going to be available at dnapodcast.com under this episode. For those that are seeking genetic testing and thinking about that and want to learn more about the process and the decision whether to get testing or not, you can go to findageneticcounselor.com. Genetic counselors can help you through this process if you're not as educated as Antonio is. You can check out DNA Podcasts on social media on Twitter at DNA Podcasts, Instagram at DNA Radio. And any questions for myself or Antonio about Huntington's disease, or you just want to reach out and thank him, you can email in at info@dnapodcast.com. So thanks for listening, and join me next week to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.